thought for this afternoon, then we'd read from Philippians 3:8-11. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but as refuse, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Surely this is our hope, the wonderful hope that Paul had to attain the resurrection of the dead, the chief resurrection, the first resurrection, the great resurrection. To be with the Lord, to see him as he is, and to share his glory. But you'll note a statement found in here when he said that I may be found in him, found in Christ. That'll be our subject for this afternoon. Found in him, morning, noon, night, always found in Christ. Because our righteousness is by faith, he says. Our righteousness is by faith in God. We're always found in him. It is because God drew us in the beginning, and it was wisdom on our part to accept him. We heard the call. Christ, therefore, has become wisdom unto us. And we've been presented to a Father, and we accepted the Lord Jesus, our personal Redeemer, because of this drawing process. It is God that justifies, and it is because of our faith, of course. Therefore, we were made right. Justified or made right, righteous. And again we say, because of our faith in God. What a wonderful plan this is, friends, that our Heavenly Father has for us. We may come into this relationship with him as sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, for we shall be like him and see him as he is, and one translation gives it, share his glory. A wonderful arrangement our Heavenly Father has made for us. Therefore we have concluded to press, as Paul did, down upon the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, friends, the Lord has made it very plain to us through that faithful and wise servant. He has elucidated this and made it plain to us in the 6th volume of Scripture studies, how that we press down upon the mark for the prize. Remember how he's outlined the race course, the first, the second, the third, the fourth quarter mark. And that this fourth quarter mark is where we press down for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And now, being at this mark, we're constantly found in Christ. Of course, we've been baptized into Jesus Christ, been baptized into his death. And Jesus said, ye shall drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and ye shall be baptized with the baptism that I am being baptized with. And because of all of this, friends, we can truly say, and truthfully say, that we're constantly found in Christ. Should be this way. In Philippians 3:9-11 we read these verses. But now I'm turning to Colossians 1:23-27. If ye continue in the faith, that's the faith, friends. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Or our most holy faith. Whose faith is it? Ours. Our most holy faith. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard. No, friends, let us not be moved from this gospel that we have heard. But let us be grounded and settled in it. It's our most holy faith. Faith that was once delivered of the saints. Let us not even compromise it. Then we'll constantly be found in Christ. Paul says, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. We're pleased to know that, aren't we? The church is the body of Christ. Jesus is the head to the church, which is his body. It never did mean, or ever will mean, that building on the corner over there. That never was the church, never will be. But ye are the church. Ye are the temple of the living God, the Spirit of God dwell in you. And two, friends, we are the church, the body members. We're thankful for this, because we recognize the time has come for the destruction of Babylon. Soon go down, I believe, like a millstone cast into the sea, never, never, never to return. It's lifted way up today, sky high. Now the time will come when it must be destroyed. God has his own way, his own method. But he tells us in the 18th chapter of Revelation that with violence it shall be cast down. The violence is flaring up everywhere. It will come all right. But the true church will not be affected, will it? And will be found in him. And deliverance will come. Whereof, he said, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to us. To us. He's passed by all the holy angels, hasn't he? Passed by the cherubim, seraphims, principalities, and powers. And all the great men and the wise men and the spiritual leaders upon this earth. And he's revealed his mystery unto us. You see how rich we are. How blessed. to have that mystery revealed unto us, which was not made known in past ages unto the sons of men. None of the holy prophets knew about it. Makes us extremely rich and extremely humble, doesn't it? It should. Even that mystery, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You remember what Jesus said in Mark 4:11-12? The mystery of the kingdom is given unto you, that you might know. But those that are without, it is not given to know. For I speak unto them in parables, lest they perceive and understand and be converted, and their sins be forgiven them. He didn't want the world to be converted, did he? No, no. Isn't time. Isn't time. The dead world. They're dead. They never were made alive, were they? No, no, they're dead, friends. As in Adam, all die. But God has set aside 1,000 years to make them alive. He couldn't make them alive unless they were dead. All we need to do is to think for ourselves. But those, friends, to whom he's revealed the mystery of his will, they're alive. And they're to be found in Christ. In Colossians 3:12-16, we have a beautiful setting. He's inviting us to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, here they're called elect. Peter said, we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Paul said in Ephesians 1:14, that we're chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Think of our great God. Greatest being in the universe, before the foundation of the world, had in mind that he would create a new creation. If Adam failed, oh yes, he had an alternative. He would use his only begotten Son to take the place of Father Adam. And then under that permission of evil, God could and would, and he's doing that very thing, is creating the new creation, those that will be found in Christ. Because we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and elected before the foundation of the world, God had this in mind for those whom he foreknew. He did predestinate. That is the new creation. The entire new creation. It's wonderful, isn't it, friends? That our Heavenly Father's wisdom is so far-sighted. See the end from the beginning. Look way down the corridor of time. And under the permission of evil would create the new creation. Those whom he would use to bless all the nations of the earth. What a wisdom. What a wonderful God. And it's being carried out exactly the way he planned it. We can't change it. Some brethren think they tried to change this or change the other thing, but they're not changing anything. Some brethren thought they'd go to Palestine and convert all the Jews. No, friends, they can't do that. You can't run ahead of the Lord. Let's not be foolish. We may make a foolish virgin of ourselves. Our dear pastor was used, friends, in a marvelous, wonderful way, and we'll follow those things carefully. There's nothing we need to change. No, there's no way to change it. In the first place, I wouldn't know how to change it. I'm glad I don't. Everything is being carried out according to the counsel of His own goodwill. Yes, my dearly beloved, it will come to pass. And the church will be in glory. And the Lord has His way to take care of the entire arrangement. And He said in this wonderful setting, "Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved brethren, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful." Just one body. Only one bride, too. Just one. "And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And then, friends, will be found in Him constantly. Found in Him. St. Paul is talking to us in Colossians 2:2-4, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. How grand that is, friends. When we think it over, to be knit together, often we'll see you, sisters and women, knitting. I see it often in a train. Someone sitting near me, across me, they're knitting, and you can see the wool coming up. Finally, they'll have a sweater, perhaps, or a cap, or a mitten, or something like that knitted, all in one. That's the thought. We're to be knit together in one love, the love of God. The love of God which passeth all human understanding. And you know, friends, He's given us of that love. In Romans 5:1-5, we read that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Diffused in our by the Holy Spirit which God has given to us. How good He is, how wonderful. Given unto us that love, His love, imparted something of the love of God. Otherwise you wouldn't be here. And that sacrificial love may require sacrifice to come to a meeting. Yes, friends, requires sacrifice. Sacrificial love. That your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Oh, how often that mystery of God is mentioned in the Bible. You have it. That mystery. It's wonderful. You remember when the Lord took us up in the great and high mountain and we made the consecration of the Lord up in the spirit realm, spirit begettal realm. And He showed us the golden city, the divine government, and what was it? The bride, the Lamb's wife. Then we saw the mystery. That's the mystery. The golden city, the divine garment which comes down from God out of heaven, adorns the bride or the husband. There it is. We never saw that before, did we? You never saw that until you made a consecration unto the Lord. And the Lord is pleased to show it to you. And that is a good indication now you were begotten of the Holy Spirit. You begin to see the two phases of the kingdom. Never saw it before. Now we're found in Him. Found in Christ. And only a few. Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there'll be that find it." We found it. And then out of all those that have found it, Jesus says, "Many are called, but few chosen." It means to be constantly found in Christ, doesn't it? I kind of like that subject, don't you? Romans 15:5-7. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be with one mind and one mouth." Isn't that good? All the same mind. Mind of Christ. And shall we mention the other part of it? With one mouth. How many mouths? Just one. One message, one mouth. All have the same message. We all see eye to eye. The vision, the plan of God. And it's sealed in our forehead. And that's why the Lord says, "Hold back the four winds until all of God's servants are sealed in their forehead," Revelation 7:1-4. He's holding back the four winds, all right, isn't he? And the Lord's saints, the Lord's people, are all being sealed in their forehead. Sealed with that vision, intellectual appreciation of God's plan. Do you know our pastor said that would mean our protection, too, against the fallen angels? I like that. Look up the reprints, you'll have it. Several articles on it. Wonderful day we're living in, brethren. Never was anything like it in all history. It's taking them all as a snare that fell upon the face of the earth. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you these things, that you may be like-minded, like Christ Jesus our head, and one towards another, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Christ Jesus. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God." Now that's one of the largest orders in the Bible. That we receive one another as Christ received us, to the glory of God. It is because we're still in the flesh. And we know positively, we henceforth know we know man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But still, friends, we all have this to contend with, don't we? Well, What does it mean? It means to fight, strive, continue, keep on fighting, good fight of faith. Never stop to the very end. The Lord knows our frame. He knows all about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He said in the 139th Psalm, the first verse, it's so plain, he said. He knows our thought afar off. He knows even what we're thinking about. He knows our thoughts afar off. I'm glad of that. Because he can make allowance for mine, and he'll make allowance for yours too. Then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Lord knows what we're thinking about. And then we're producing thoughts. And the thoughts are stored in the heart. And then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Keep thine heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Let us be careful what goes into that heart. How can we do it? With the think mill. Be careful what we're thinking about. That's how we produce the thoughts. Thoughts are stored in the heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right? God knows our thoughts are far off before we ever produced one. Wonderful God, isn't he? But oh, how kind, how loving and how merciful. Yes, friends, we have a lovely God, haven't we? We're becoming better acquainted with him constantly. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. We're sons of God. A son ought to know and be well acquainted with their father, and that's it. We're all sons of God, either male or female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile. We're all one in Christ. We're all covered with the robe of Christ's righteousness, decked with the garments of salvation, sealed with the Holy Spirit, all one, all sealed with that vision. And so then we can see eye to eye. All sealed with the same vision. Plan hasn't changed, has it? No. It's just the same plan, friends. Plan of the ages. And you know, 1 Timothy 4:16 we read, take heed unto yourselves, brethren, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, not merely one of the doctrines. Some of our brethren a few years ago thought it was just the one doctrine, the ransom. But that was a mistake. I hope to see it now. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, in all the doctrines. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Continue in all the doctrines the Lord has given. All. Then, friends, we'll gather treasures for ourselves in heaven. It means to be found in Christ as a steward. Luke 19:10-14. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, he said unto them, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And then he called his 10 servants and delivered them the 10 pounds. But when he returned, of course, he reckoned with his stewards. Now, friends, we believe we're living in that day, don't we? Do we believe in the presence of Christ? Well, yes. Yes. Well, then, friends, we're being reckoned with. For that rich young nobleman has returned, hasn't he? That's right. Now, if I deny the presence of Christ, then I'm not being reckoned with as a member of the bright class. I'm left out. You see how serious it is? The rich young nobleman has returned, friends. And he's reckoning with us. That's right. Yes. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. And there's something to do. Oh, yes. Always abounding in the work. Until deliverance shall come. Now, how could we say, friends, that it's all over with? There's nothing to do. There is no work to be done. How could anyone ever come to a conclusion of that kind? As long as they're on this side of the veil. Don't you see what a mistake that would be? We should continue in the work of the Lord until the very end. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, friends, let us continue in the work that which the Lord has given us to do. I think it's really spectacular. I was telling the brethren yesterday over there at Salem, when I was in the East, in Brother Copperanto's home. In New York State, Rochester, New York. But this dear brother had been to Italy 4 different times. He's the one, he and Brother Baldy, that established the radio station in Monte Carlo, 100,000 watt station. And of course, we hear the results of these stations. We have a 500,000 watt station in India. Reaches 80 million English-speaking people, and goes all through Asia, into Jerusalem as clear as a bell, in London, England as clear as a bell. We're getting responses from all over the earth almost because of these powerful stations, and a very low rate too. But the Copperanto was telling me, as a result of that broadcast station in the Italian language in Monte Carlo, that this was 6 months ago, that they had organized 50 Bible classes in Italy. There's probably 60 now. As a result of the Monte Carlo broadcasting station, Frank and Ernst program in the Italian language. And in Africa, many classes being organized, and India too. Folks know about that, Brother Gilbert. I said to Brother Copperanto, "You're going back soon, aren't you?" "Yes, you're going back again." The Italian brethren in Connecticut and Massachusetts practically support it financially. We have many Italian brethren in the East, loyal, faithful, consecrated brethren. I said to him, "Brother, I'd like to ask a question. Now, these folks that are coming in these classes in Italy, more than 50 classes, I'd say, do you think they'll all be of the bright class?" "Oh, brother," he said, "you know better than that." "No, no." Well, I said, "Now, let me ask again. Is there any consecration in the classes?" "Oh, yes, some. A few in each class."
But he said the others, all the rest, he said they come from far and near. And they must have a measure of the sacrificial love or they wouldn't come. But he said they want to know about the plan. They want to know about the truth, and they're studying the truth, and they're living the life. But he said they're not consecrated. Now, can't you see a class that are seeking meekness and seeking righteousness? The Lord promised that he'd take them into the kingdom, didn't he? Yes. Didn't our pastor say that that would take place down here at the end of the age? Now, who would do this work? Work. Here it is, work. The wise virgin class. Not the foolish virgin class, because they'd be asleep. There's nothing to do. But the wise virgin class are doing the work, friends. I'm glad that I can say that I represent the Franklin in this program. I'm sure we all are. That's doing the marvelous, spectacular work, friends. You and I have this privilege. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Don't be moved around by every wind of doctrine. Someone come along and say, I've got just the thing that will take the church into glory. Look out. Another one say, I had a vision. Look out. Another one, a revelation. Look out. Don't you believe it. Let us be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:5-7. For as the sufferings... You'll notice, friends, it's plural. Sufferings of Christ. Not singular, but plural. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. You see how the us class is bound together with Christ, the head, the body, the head and the body. So our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. We too? Yes. The body members? Yes. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, brethren, knowing that as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, plural, we're partakers of Christ's sufferings. To be partakers of Christ's sufferings means to be part of it. Can't change that, can we? That's right. So shall also be of the consolation. You know, brethren, we can't change some of these things. Stand forever. If we suffer with him, St. Paul said, we shall also be glorified together. Then it's essential to suffer with him. And to suffer with him means to suffer on the same altar. Is that right? If we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. But if we're not found in him, there'll be no work. There'll be no suffering. Now, friends, but finally we'll lose the truth. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, they should abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And Paul said, our hope of you, brethren, is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. I like that very much, don't you? Because it positively proves, friends, that the church is part of the sin offering. Can't change. Regardless of what men teach and try to tell you, don't you believe it? The tabernacle teaches it, and we can't change that. Then who shall separate us from the love of God? Romans 8:35-39. Read this slowly and see for yourself. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Friends, this is because we're found in Christ that this suffering will come. And as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him, Christ Jesus, who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Are we going to permit any creature to separate us from the love of God? We sing that beautiful hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. We don't think of it though, do we? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground, sinking sand, found its own. We dare not trust any sweet, smooth frame. Look out. You have the truth. Hold it. Don't give it up. Not any part of it. We don't need to. You don't need to change any of it. Sure, you believe that too. I hope you do. These things, friends, mean much to us, mean much to me. Many beautiful scriptures we have on this line. Malachi 3:16. I'd like to read this one. Then they that reverence the Lord spake often one to another. Now, we couldn't do this, friends, unless we came together often, could we? All we could write one another. If we can't go to the class, we can write one another, perhaps. Or we can visit those that cannot come. Or we can call them up over the phone. And they that reverenced the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened. He's listening. He's hearkening today. And he heard. I wonder what he's hearing. Well, if we have the truth and hold fast the truth and we're found in Christ, then God is pleased with us. He's listening. He knows what we're talking about. That's right. He heard, and he said a book of remembrance was written before him for them. That class that reverenced him. That's the bright class. That's the little flock. That's the class that are constantly found in Christ. Yes. And they that thought upon his name Then he said, they shall be mine, saith the Lord. And I think the day has come, don't you? The Lord is making up his jewels one by one. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. No doubt you've memorized all this, but going over it slowly refreshes our mind, strengthens our faith. Now, why do we come together? Why is it the Lord's will that a brother is sent across the country? My friends, to remind us of these things, that we may receive some food for the inner man, some spiritual food for the inner man, that we may grow thereby, that we may be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, otherwise it wouldn't be done. Just think of this large city of Portland, just a handful. Just a few. It always was a little flock. Always a little flock. And they come together way over here to this home to get spiritual food for the inner man. That we may be strong. That we may grow. The Lord has made these arrangements way back in Brother Russell's day, and we're trying to continue in them. They prove a blessing to the Lord's people. They come together. Think about these things. Stir up our pure minds by the way of remembrance that we may be strong in the Lord. Now, my dear brethren, I pray you have received a blessing this afternoon, and let us continue to pray. The Lord may have blessings for us constantly. And we come together tonight. The Lord will provide something for us so that we'll have more spiritual food for the inner man, that we may be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But let us always remember, keep the thought in mind, to be found in Christ. No other leader, no other head, no one else, but to be found in him morning, noon, and night. And I'm sure then we can lift our countenance in the morning to the Lord when we wake up and say, O God, thou art my God. Because our minds are stayed on him, our Heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus the Lord. We're found in him. Thanks.